of you have seen before. I appreciate him coming. I wasn't going to be here this Sunday, but here I am. Brittany, it's great to have Brittany and Brittany's kids back here today. So, Brittany Grimwald. formerly Brittany Grimwald. And other announcements. We have a special voters meeting today at 10:30. We have and that's going to be discussing swaddling clothes project and storage building. We also have a Sunday school summer bash that's going to be on the on next Sunday from 10:30 to 2. The youth group is going to also go to Silver Dollar City, and that's going to be on the 19th. Church Council meeting is this week, and Debbie Close has her 60th birthday this week as well. So if you are interested, there's an invite for you to her birthday party. Other announcements this day, of course, I'm going to continue to pray for Jeff as he goes through his treatments. He's already started some, and we'll begin some new ones here soon as well. Joy will be having a surgery this week, and so we certainly want to keep her in our prayers as well. With that, then, I invite you to turn to our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. You, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we're gathered to hear God's word and call upon Him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies in your faithfulness, O Lord.
O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth.
Strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves.
For He has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Behold, God is my helper, the Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies in your faithfulness for the names of them.
Walk the earth, good will from God in heaven.
prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall please you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
With the merciful, you show mercy, yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortured. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For you I can run against the truth. And by my God, I can lead over the world. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves truth. He is the shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common among man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you in the eternal dwelling. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy
and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from Series A, the three-year series. And in that series, everything in the Gospels come from the Gospel of Matthew. So the text is from Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And I think you know the rest of the story. The feeding of the 5,000 is a miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all four Gospels. Doesn't usually happen. The parable that you've heard before from Luke only appears in Luke. Well, this is surely an indication that this parable or this event has special significance. And so by reporting on this episode, the gospel writers would encourage us to recognize that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that he is also our compassionate Savior, the Savior of the world, who graciously provides all human needs, both spiritual and physical. But not only do we learn a few things about Jesus, but we also learn some things about ourselves and how we are to look at the resources that God has provided for us, that he has placed in our hands. Perhaps the key to this miracle is the words that describe Jesus' reaction when he saw that great throng of people that gathered out there in that desolate place. He had compassion on them. The Greek word for compassion, to have compassion, is splachnizomai. It's one of my favorite Greek words of all time. The various words for compassion used in the New Testament, this is probably the strongest. Unlike us who speak of our emotions as residing in the heart, the Greeks placed the seat of emotions one step below, in the entrails. What we perhaps delicately call the guts. That word indicates not only a strong pained feeling at the sight of suffering and distress, but also a desire to do something about it. See, Jesus was like that. He was moved whenever he saw people in need. Their plight touched his heart. It got him in the gut. And he instinctively reached out to them. And as followers of Jesus, we need to feel this compassion for the hungry and the hurting so deeply that we are likewise moved to action. In Philippians 2:5, St. Paul says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." And in the same way, we could say, what got Jesus in the gut ought to get us in the gut as well. You know, Jesus could have resented this vast crowd. After all, he had deliberately crossed the lake in a boat to be alone with his disciples. He wanted to give them rest. A respite. See, they had just come back from their first practice mission. You know, remember going out two by two, preaching in their villages, driving out demons, healing the sick. Boy, it had been an exhilarating, exciting, exciting experience, but also an exhausting one. Not only that, but Jesus had just received the tragic news of the death of John the Baptist, who had been beheaded by Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee. If there was any genuine need for rest, recuperation, regrouping, and prayer, this was it. But in place of the solitude that he had sought, Jesus was greeted by a large crowd who had followed him on foot. Hundreds of people streaming out of the little towns and villages around the lake, racing to catch up with Jesus as he landed. Now me, I would have jumped back in the boat and sailed away. What did Jesus do? He disembarked, and seeing their needs, he showed compassion on the ground, healing their sick. Mark and Luke's gospel mention that Jesus also took this opportunity, just like a preacher or a teacher would always take opportunity, to teach them many things. Teach them many things about the kingdom of God. And as he so often did, Jesus attended not just to the needs of bodies, but also needs of their souls. But as the day wore on, a new problem arose. What's this hungry crowd going to do for supper? You see, they were in a remote, a desolate area. There were no McDonald's or Burger Kings in the wilderness, no Walmart, no Aldi's to buy food. Some in the crowd, no doubt, were elderly and frail. Some were little children. What were they to do? What would you do? Apparently, Jesus hadn't been paying much attention to the time. I guess he didn't have a watch. So the disciples came to alert him to this impending problem. This problem that he was creating. Master, it's getting late. We're out here in the boonies. Send the people away so that they can get something to eat. Reading between the lines, the disciples were saying, hey, we don't want to take responsibility for all these people. They got themselves into this mess by not planning ahead. So they can get themselves out of it. God helps those who help themselves. I think that's Hezekiah 12:6. I'm not sure. In any case, even a dummy could figure out that the disciples' resources couldn't possibly handle a catering job of this magnitude. At least so they thought. I suppose we would have thought the same. We can understand the solution which the disciples offered. Perhaps we even would support it, but Jesus had other ideas. While the disciples showed concern, Jesus showed compassion. He would meet the needs of the crowd and at the same time reveal the glory of God and teach his disciples and us a lesson about resources, God's and ours. Out of our Lord's compassion came his abundant provision. Without blinking an eye, Jesus gives his disciples a command. You give them something to eat. Instead of avoiding the problem, Jesus meets the problem head on and tells the disciples to get involved in the solution. He may be the source of the solution and the resources, but Jesus involves his followers, that would include us, as partners. Partners in the enterprise of meeting people's needs. Are you nuts? They probably said under their breath. We don't have anywhere near the supplies it would require. I mean, after a quick inventory, very quick, of resources available to them, the disciples came up with 5 measly loaves of bread and 2 lousy fish. See? We told you, Jesus, it's impossible. Of course, they were only including human resources in their calculations. They failed to count to 8. 5 loaves of fish, of bread, 5 loaves of barley bread, 2 fish, and 1 Savior, 1 Jesus. That's all you need. Now the drama unfolds, and Jesus takes charge. He orders the crowd to sit down. Actually, in the Greek, he orders them to recline on the grass in groups. See, they didn't have any picnic tables out there in the wilderness. But even then, can you imagine what was on the minds of the disciples at this point? I mean, what's Jesus up to now? Doesn't he realize that he's setting these people up to a big disappointment? He's setting us up to failure. We're going to have an angry mob on our hands when they don't get what they want. Very calmly and without any fanfare, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven and prayed. And by this very gesture, Jesus emphasized that God is the giver of every good gift. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, says James in his book, from the Father of lights. Jesus then gave the bread and the fish to the disciples to be distributed among the people. And so we call what happened the feeding of the 5,000, but that was only the half of it, since the figure only represented the men that were present, didn't include women and children. In any case, Jesus provided enough for all to have their fill, even to the point of food left over. You remember that? 12 baskets. How ironic. Kind of hint to the disciples. Just as Jesus involved his disciples in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, so he would involve us as partners in his ministry of compassion today. Like the disciples, you know, we tend to minimize our resources and what we can do as individuals or even as a congregation. I mean, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I don't make the big bucks like other people do, so I can't give much to the Lord. My talents aren't very impressive. Others can do more and better than I can. We're only an older congregation. We're not a mega church. There's not much that we can accomplish for the Lord. I mean, we just should be satisfied with what we've got. Never say, "we only." Jesus didn't need to be told that they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He didn't want to know what they didn't have, but what they did have. Whenever we put what we have in Christ's hands, no matter how small and insignificant it may seem, we don't need the word "only." Christ will make it adequate. And he can multiply it in ways that we would never imagine. Now see, if the needs of people get us in the gut the way it gets Jesus in the gut, then we respond. We respond with compassion and care. We say to the Lord, "May not be much, Lord, but I'll offer you what I have." We may have limited resources by ourselves, but working together, we can make a big impact on the lives of people. Throughout this whole episode, we have witnessed the compassion of Christ at work. a compassion that addressed not only physical needs of people, but their spiritual needs as well. You see, Jesus first showed compassion on his disciples, wanting them to have a chance to get some rest and rest. Then Jesus showed compassion on the people by healing those who were sick, by giving them what they needed the most, his teaching, teaching about the good news of the kingdom of God. You know, you say, feed a man's body, and he'll be hungry yet. Feed a man's soul, and he'll be satisfied for eternity. And then lastly, Jesus showed compassion by meeting a basic need that people have, the need for physical sustenance, bread. You know, what we would generally just call food. In Psalm 145, we read, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing." And how does God do that? Well, according to Isaiah 55, "The Lord sends rain and snow down from heaven, watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater." But just as Jesus was the source of the miracle of multiplication, he used his disciples as his hands for distribution. So the Lord uses us to share our bread with those in need. You know, we live in a world where nearly a billion people are said to be malnourished and go hungry. Now, we would probably have little comprehension of what that must be like, what that means in the lives of starving people. Obesity, not scarcity, is our national problem. You know, like Lazarus in Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus, they would love to even get the crumbs at all from Americans' tables. And you know that in parts of the world, people just scavenge for scraps of food in garbage piles and in city dumpsters. Can we eradicate hunger from the world? Well, probably not. Because, you see, we live in a sinful, imperfect world of greed and selfishness, waste and mismanagement, turmoil and tumult. And so what Jesus said about the poor is also true of the hungry you always have with you. But that's the wrong question. The question we should be asking is, can I make a difference in the lives of people, including hungry people? And there the answer is a definite yes. Yes. Individual and corporate, like agencies like the LCMS, World Relief, or food pantries. I don't know what you have in Lebanon, for example, but it might just look like a drop in the bucket, but with many gifts and with God's blessing, that bucket can be filled to overflowing. The real issue is not how little or how much we have in our hand to give, but who controls our heart. Because the heart that controls the hand. It's only when we are controlled by the Lord, motivated by His love for us, that we are willing to share God's bounties with others. It's only as we give thanks to God for all that we are, all that we have, that we feel motivated to reach out in Christ-like love and compassion to others. I believe that God wants us to feel guilty for the abundance, the blessings that we have. But He does expect us, however, to share, to be grateful. He does expect us to examine our lifestyles and see whether there are ways that we can better serve Him and others, better ways that we can be stewards of what He's given us. church to share not only food for people's bodies, but food for their souls. You see, man doesn't live by bread alone, as our Lord reminds us. Our continuing obligation is to provide for the hunger of the soul as well as the hunger of the body. You know what? Every soul is hungry, in need of forgiveness, in need of the righteousness which imperfect, sinful lives can never achieve. But Jesus did. Jesus didn't act as he did to make himself something great. He didn't choose from all this adulation for all the people what they needed. He didn't choose to become a bread king who satisfies the hungry and the thirsty. But he came to be the very bread of life. I guess you could call Jesus the original wonder bread. We have that wonder bread. We receive it in the Lord's Supper every time that it is celebrated. So today, Jesus is asking you and me, you give him something to eat. Give from what you already have, from the blessings and bounty that God has given you, unworthy though we may be. Give even if it seems like it's only a drop in the bucket. Christ will make it adequate. Give out of love for Christ, Christ-like compassion for people. Give bread. Give food. Give resources. And above all, give them the bread of life. Jesus, who so bountifully, who so wonderfully nourished our souls, satisfied our deepest needs. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.
Lord God, our worth is more than what we own. And what we own is worth nothing compared to you as our Heavenly Father. You are our treasure. You are the giver of all good gifts, and you are greater than the gifts you give. Increase our love for you as you have first loved us from all eternity. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, give us wisdom so that we use our money as individuals and as a church to serve your kingdom, and use our wealth to make friends of the kingdom of God for all eternity, out of the same compassion that Jesus showed us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, it's too easy for us to judge people in fleshly ways. We can deem people unworthy based upon their beauty or intelligence and wealth. And when we do that, we forget that we are not lovable in our sin, but you have given your Son over for us all. Increase in us our love for our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, bless all the congregations of our community that preach and confess the gospel, Strengthen them to remain faithful to your word and have the courage to swim against the current of culture. Heaven isn't for cowards. Make us courageous, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Your
God, we thank you for our retired ministers serving in so many vacant congregations in our circuit. Move in the hearts of our young people, our young men in the LCMS and all other gospel preaching denominations, that they would take up the calling to pastoral ministry. Lord, in your mercy. God, help us to respond to one another in the spirit and not react to one another in the flesh. And forgive us when we have failed, for we have. Lord, in your mercy, bless the sick and the suffering. Bill, Joy for her surgery coming this week. Jeff, Roy, Jean, Kathy, Neva, Vicky, and others that we mention in our own hearts. Give them strength to endure their trials until you remove them. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
I invite you to stand for the and for the presentation of the offering. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times, all places, give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we may not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns for all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death, will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your name, praising you and saying, salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Thank you. through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.
Amen.